I have one additional greeting that was sent to me just the other day that I'd like to read out as well. And it reads, I'm delighted to extend my warmest congratulations to the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada on the occasion of your 5th anniversary. The integrity and social cohesiveness of our communities and our nation starts at home. Strong and healthy families are at the heart of a successful society. The IMFC is a valued champion of these fundamental principles. Over the past 5 years, you've provided a thoughtful perspective in the public debate on a wide range of issues affecting families. This milestone is an occasion to celebrate the Institute's progress and achievements in advancing its laudable mission. I'm pleased to recognize your valuable work, which complements our government's commitment to ensure the health and prosperity of Canadian families to build an even stronger and healthier Canada. On behalf of the Government of Canada, please accept my warmest commendation and best wishes for continued success. Sincerely, Right Honourable Stephen Harper, Prime Minister of Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, let me first of all extend my thanks to each and every one of you for setting aside this time this evening to join us in celebrating our 5th anniversary. As we see this milestone, one which affirms our presence in the public square and allows us the opportunity to reflect on the past 5 years, but also make plans for the next 5 years and beyond that as well. But why marriage and family? Society often takes marriage and family for granted. Society changed how the Divorce Act can break down marriage, changed the face of marriage by recognizing cohabitation as marriage, changed the definition of marriage, and now the courts are considering whether marriage is really only two people or many. It was into this genre that the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada entered, not to hold on to some bygone era, but rather to contribute to the Canadian debate around the need for strong marriages and strong families. In the many interviews, panels, discussions, debates that we've been a part of, not once has either marriage or family been said or proven to weaken society. Rather, the exact opposite is true. Husbands and wives do better when they're married to each other rather than merely cohabiting with each other. Children do best when they're raised by their married biological mums and dads. You're more likely to be healthier, happier, and yes, even wealthier if you're married versus cohabiting. And that list continues to grow. Some will say, well, you're just taking a very socially conservative viewpoint on these issues. And to that I would respond that actually that isn't true. Social science research from all political perspectives, all corners of the world, academic and otherwise, religious or not, bear out these premises. Family is where we learn the basic principles of morality, what is right and wrong, our social skills, our time and money management, our communication and work ethics, our very sense of community. In the past 5 years, we've had efforts to meet privately with MPs, cabinet ministers, business and community leaders, those people that we call the decision makers. We've hosted briefings in Parliament Hill, organized full-day conferences with international speakers on all these various topics. We've had hundreds, if not thousands, of media interviews and spoken to an overwhelming number of people. In short, the moral and financial support of many Canadians, some of whom were in this room with us this evening, through them we've been able to play an ever-increasing role in the social policy debate of our country. 5 years ago, we started with a sort of a shotgun approach to much of our work. We knew which direction we wanted to aim, but we needed to build a wide expanse of knowledge and data and expertise. Since that time, and more specifically as we look forward to the next 5 years, we're taking more of that rifle approach. Specific issues with more depth involved. Depth that can only be brought forward by an organization such as the IMFC. So now I'd like to take my thoughts and turn ahead to the next 5 years and beyond. What will our priorities be? Tonight, at the end of the session, you're going to receive a publication, a book. Terrence mentioned it earlier, and we're going to distribute it to you so that you can actually read through a few more of those details. But I'd like to just take a couple of minutes and highlight our priorities. Family and education. In our opinion, nothing can be as important as educating our children. And education starts in the family. But how should we educate our children? What options do we have? Is testing worthwhile consideration for all children? Homeschooling versus public school versus private school. Faith-based versus secular. Charter schools or traditional schools. It's not a simple question. And there are many different answers or solutions for parents to consider. Over the next 5 years, the IMFC will continue to examine educational options, opportunities, and policies that will assist parents as they wrestle with these very questions. Family and demographics. Not sure if you've noticed yet, but we're all getting old. Well, at least you are. I'm sure I'm not. Depending upon which year you look at any one of the past, there were 20 or 30 or more people working, taxpayers, for every retired person. A large group of taxpayers for a relatively small group of retired people. It's now estimated that within our lifetime, there could be as few as 2 or 3 taxpayers for every retiree. This is not sustainable, and the implications are enormous. Issues such as labor shortages, immigration, pension reform, social services, healthcare funding, quality elder care, euthanasia, palliative care are all directly related to demographics. The impact on the family will be massive. Family and finances. It doesn't take long to consider the implications of family and finances. Rising household debt, increased cost of living, the economic uncertainty that many have lived with, especially this last several years, questions such as, not only should I retire, but can I retire? There's a definite link between social policy and fiscal policy. When the cost of living is high, many families will put off getting married, starting or expanding their family. Retirement is stymied, and education plans are often put on hold. We will continue to develop policy options, such as family income splitting, aimed at creating a policy framework that encourages family strength and stability. Thank you. Family and children. Contrary to thinking by some that divorce is a good thing, there is no such thing as a good divorce. Mums are hurt, dads are hurt, children especially are hurt. Many carry that burden for many years, if not their entire life. We will continue to ask the hard questions pertaining to children and their need for a strong, stable family environment in which to live and be nurtured. Family and community. Contrary, and this has been mentioned already, contrary to the thinking of some, government cannot do it all for us. Research shows that the very best social justice outcomes are derived not from government intervention, but from community-based participation. In the United Kingdom, where there are generations, plural, generations of unemployed or underemployed people, the training and shift in attitude is coming from community-based groups. Can government attempt these things? Certainly. Are they likely to have the same outcomes as these types of community-based activities? Very doubtful. Family is where we first learn the concept of community. And it is through this network of strong families that we raise and have strong communities. Communities in turn provide safe enclaves for parents to raise their children and to provide civic examples of helping, nurturing, and caring for each other. Family and marriage. Marriage relationships have been under increasing strain from several sources. Canada changed the definition of marriage, the full measure of which I believe we've not yet seen yet. Cohabitation is on the rise and is treated as if it is marriage, and yet every measured outcome shows that marriage is better for everyone involved. Now we have polygamy before the courts. Each of these shifts and changes have consequences. The IMFC will continue to work with researchers across Canada and around the world as we measure and research the benefits of marriage and the positive impact that it has on each and every one of our families. So, how are we going to achieve these things? Every time I walk up and down the hall and count, there's only 4 of us. And at present, everybody seems really busy. So here's our plans and how we're going to tackle that. Number 1, over the next 5 years, the IMFC plans to expand its team of research fellows from the current 2 members to a team of 6. We have and will continue to rely on the many intelligent people doing relevant and innovative research on family issues that we simply could not replicate and do on our own. Dr. Frank Jones, just do a wave your hand, Frank. Dr. Frank Jones is one of our research fellows, has a lifetime statistical analysis through long professional career, both as a professor and at Statistics Canada. Dr. Kelly Schwartz, who cannot be here, is a social psychologist at the University of Calgary. He's on the front line of children's behavioral research. We thank them both for their expertise and the things that they helped us with already. We want to recruit additional men and women that are leaders in their respective fields, that will ensure that we at the IMFC continue to be on the front line of research regarding marriage and family issues. Number two, over the next 5 years, we plan to participate in 2 or 3 international research projects. We cannot, nor do we want to undertake the challenge that is before us in isolation. Marriage and family institutions are not unique to Canada, rather they are universal. Therefore, it's important that we work, cooperate, and share with other like-minded organizations to build on that ever-expanding body of knowledge and research. Number three, we plan to conduct a national survey of Canadians and collect existing relevant databases to develop one of the most comprehensive studies ever of Canadian life in Canada, or family life in Canada. If we're going to continue to be a leader regarding research and social policy options for Canada, we need to incredibly build that database. We've already begun to take steps to accomplish this. In the near future, we plan to conduct a regular survey of Canadian family life. Number four, we plan to add an additional team member with experience and skills providing economic and quantitative analysis to Canadian policy issues specifically. One of the ways that we've had success to date is to not just talk about the warm and fuzzy concepts of marriage and family, but to be able to support our recommended policy options with that research word and hard data. We've already seen the results of this approach when we calculated the cost of family breakdown here in Canada that Monty just mentioned, $7 billion a year, and we could probably double that actually if you pull all the different factors in. We developed an index to measure family-friendly cities and to analyze the costs and outcomes of the full-day kindergarten program here in Ontario. That will continue. Number five, in addition to the current plans, we want to add an additional team member with experience and skills coordinating our overall communication strategy. As we continue to publish our results, we need to ensure that the latest and best research is not just staying in-house, but it needs to be out there in the public square so you can use it, so our elected officials can use it, our bureaucrats can use it. And here's where you come in. We certainly cannot do this strictly on our own. Your support can come in several different ways. We need you to use and pass along the research that we generate. Read it through. Add to your knowledge base as well. You never know when that conversation will take place in the coffee pot or at work or in the backyard or wherever it may be, and you need some information at your fingertips as well. Pass this information on to others as well. Consider partnering with us financially. Whether it's a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly donor, please be assured that your contribution is being used in the most effective manner that we know how. As you've heard this evening, we have big plans for the next 5 years, and we ask that you join with us in making those dreams a reality. Several of our past and current donors are with us this evening, and to you, I say thank you for your support. Thank you. Thank you very much. You've just received a copy of our publication that celebrates both our past 5 years, but also projects ahead where we're going, what our dreams are. I'd encourage you to read this through. Feel free to pass your comments back to us. Tell us what information you're looking for, how it's been useful, and how we can be more effective in meeting the needs of society around us. I've mentioned it in the book as well, that there are a couple of different websites that we run, both a searchable database and our main website that has been mentioned as well. Our e-review newsletter comes out every 2 weeks. If you're not familiar with our websites or you're not receiving our e-review, inside that back cover tells you how to receive it and where to subscribe to it. If you'd like to consider partnering with us financially, inside the back cover are a couple of little tear-offs. Feel free to use them. We'd be glad to talk with you about those things as well. If you have questions about any of this information, please talk with me or the staff that are here this evening as well. While there are many people that deserve thanks, and we thank all of you, there are probably too many names to just mention this evening. But there's one more person I'd like to pay specific tribute to. Through the past 5 years of long hours, travel, media interviews, asking, "What did you say today?" my wife Marianne has been a rock-solid supporter, active listener, and full of great ideas. Mayor, thank you for your love and your support. Appreciate that greatly. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to draw the formal part of our evening to a close, but please don't leave. This is where the tasty part actually begins. Desserts are going to be available in the foyer just out where you came in, and coats are hung up. I see the smiles starting already. Desserts are available out there. Coffee and tea will be available here at the back of the room. There's tables at the other side of the back of the room with other documents and publications and books. Please help yourself to those different things. They are meant for you to take home, read, share with others. You've been a very patient crowd. I can hear the cry for coffee and dessert building. So thank you for support. I look forward to continuing to build the IMFC with your support. Thank you and good night.